first. I'm Christopher Columbus. Y'all just a pilgrims. Thanksgiving, do we even got a question? Hermes pastel.
Welcome to the Kenny Hodge.
It's tattooed, that means it's permanent. So I guess we should
post podcast.
Time I breathe on the track, I asthma attack it. Why he so mad for? Why he gotta have it? Cause I slay my whole life. Now I'm the master.
Good morning, podcast audience. Your podcaster this morning will be Kenneth Hodge, and I'm going to talk to mail handlers that listen to the podcast on the scheduling of employees for holiday periods. I'm going to give you references and readings from your current contracts, and again, the intent is to bring you into the knowledge of the rules and regulation that govern where you work. Now, if we're going to keep it 100, I know 80% of you have probably never read your contract. I'm not saying that's good or that's bad, but I know 100% of you have music devices. So I'm going to present your contract with a lot of my interpretation, of course, to you so that I'm going to make it ease of use for you. So while you're at work in a safe or sedentary position, you can listen to the Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast, and I'm going to continue to bring you relevant contract issues to try and increase your contract knowledge. I know this might sound funny, but if you listen to the podcast, I would hope that it would motivate you to maybe go pick up your contract and maybe read that section. And then, you know, baby steps. And before you know it, you will be well-versed in your entire national agreement. And remember, it's only one book, folks. How many, I'm sure most of you have gone to colleges, university. Can you ever remember having a college curriculum or high school curriculum? Well, let's go back to college, and only one book was required. So I'm going to break your contract down to you audibly, but I want you, again, to understand that that's not a massive document. That's a one book read, and maybe you want to read it two or three times, but make yourself knowledgeable and you make yourself powerful. Let's talk about holiday scheduling for mail handlers. And now I'm going to start the conversation with the craft that I belong, the mail handlers, and a reference I'm going to use will be the national agreement, and I'm going to start with Article 11.5, and we're going to talk 11.5 and 11.6. Let's get a firm understanding of what it is we're discussing. Holidays are non-work days. I'm going to describe what is designated as your holiday. When a holiday falls on Sunday, the following Monday will be observed as your holiday. When a holiday falls on Saturday, the preceding Friday shall be observed as a holiday. When an employee's scheduled non-work day falls on a day observed as a holiday, the employee's scheduled work day preceding the holiday shall be designated as the employee's holiday. So again, you need to understand, depending on the day of the holiday, if it's a holiday work day for you or not. If we go right down to 11.6, what I'm going to try and convey to you is there is a method that the post office is required to use when they create a holiday schedule. Now, you have to understand the concept of holiday scheduling lends itself to the fact that the Postal Service should not have as many people working on a holiday as they do every other day, because if that were not the case, there'd be no reason to have a section in your contract called holiday scheduling. Sound pretty elementary, but again, it's a certain type of scheduling that's different from your everyday work schedule. 11.6 holiday schedule, and I'm reading directly from your current national agreement. The employer will determine the number and categories of employees needed for holiday work, and a schedule shall be posted as of 12 noon on the Tuesday preceding the service week in which the holiday
falls. Kansas City.
As many full-time and part-time regular scheduled employees as can be spared will be excused from duty on a holiday or day designated as their holiday. That's why it was important that I started with 11.5, because you have to have or understand what determines your holiday or your designated holiday. Let's go back to 11.6. Employees shall be selected to work on a holiday within each category in the following order. Here's what we call the pecking order. And when you hear pecking order, again, that is a national contractual item on how to perform a task, and it goes as follows. Casuals, even if overtime is required. You see, all of my postal career, when I read if overtime is required, it was always understood that when we talk if overtime is required, or phrases like to the full extent possible, that automatically meant you are going to work a 12-hour day. That's what you call full extent or full use of an employee's work hours. So B1 tells you, and when I say B1, I'm sorry, 11.6 section B1, that all casuals will be scheduled even if overtime is required. So I would look at that and I would proceed with, okay, every casual in the building should be scheduled to work 12 hours that day. And I'm being repetitious on saying that because I'm going to come back to this point, because I'm going to show you how management abuses it. So you have to bring all casuals must be scheduled. Then we go to all available and qualified part-time flexible employees, again, even if overtime is required. So now, if you're in a facility that has part-time employees, that's another group that will be scheduled for 12-hour work. Then we go to full and part-time regular employees in order of seniority who have volunteered to work on the holiday or the day designated as their holiday. When such day is part of their regular work schedule, these employees will be paid at the applicable straight time rate. So, just a quick recap. We've got casuals, we have all part-time flexibles, and now we have regulars who have volunteered. Then we go to the MHA. And let me tell you something. Most people are so confused on that because they believe that when you come to holiday scheduling, that all your MHAs must be scheduled. And I say, not the case. If you look at your holiday schedule, again, and again, I want to repeat this again to you, casuals are scheduled first, then part-time flexibles, then regulars who volunteered, then MHAs. Okay? Understand that order, please. Now, B5, I'm going to continue reading. After your MHAs, now you start full and part-time regular employees in order of seniority who have volunteered to work on a holiday or day designated a holiday whose schedule does not include the day as a scheduled work day. Full-time employees will be paid at the applicable overtime rate. Everybody who volunteers should work. Did you understand what I'm saying? anyone is forced.
So we've got, and again, I'm going to keep running this down because I want you to understand this. Casuals, part-time flexibles.
Now, regulars who volunteer, and then you bring in the MHAs. No one got drafted yet. And that is actually the last option in Article 11.6 is we now start to draft. So B6
mandatory, same
in
thing.
Article 11.6 reads as follows. Full and part-time regular employees in reverse order of seniority who have not volunteered to work on their holiday or day designated as a holiday, when such day is part of the regular work schedule, these employees will be paid at the applicable straight time rate. So now we talk about drafting you to work your holiday at straight time. And the last category will be full and part-time regular employees in reverse order of seniority who have not volunteered to work on their holiday or day designated at a holiday. So, and again, then it goes on to say those employees will be paid at the applicable overtime rate. One last time from the top, here's your pecking order. Casuals, 12 hours, or fully full use of them, which I consider, or most people consider, 12 hours. Part-time flexibles. Now you have regulars who volunteer, MHAs. Then you have regulars who volunteer to work for overtime. So notice there are a lot of people who are selected to work before the Postal Service can draft
or mandate.
Now, I also want to continue reading paragraph C of 11.6 in your national agreement. And it says, an employee scheduled to work on a holiday who does not work shall not receive holiday pay unless such absence is based on an extreme emergency situation and is excused by the employer. Now, last paragraph, Article D, we address the MHA mail handler assistant. MHAs will be scheduled for work on a holiday or designated holiday after all full-time or part-time volunteers. So again, everybody who's volunteering got to be scheduled before you start bringing the MHAs into the mix. And that's why I'm saying there will be rare occasions where once all the volunteers have been assigned, the Postal Service, if they use smart management, may not need all MHAs at work. Anyway, I'm going to continue reading. They will be scheduled to the extent possible prior to any full-time volunteers or non-volunteers being scheduled to work, a non-scheduled day, or any other full-time non-volunteer being required to work their holiday or designated holiday. If the parties have locally negotiated a pecking order that would schedule full-time volunteers on a non-scheduled day, the local memorandum of understanding will apply. So what I'm saying is, coming out of the national agreement, I read that as all MHAs have got to be maxed out also to the extent possible before you start drafting people. Now, that's what I get. So that's my take on holiday scheduling. And I want to say, here's what we look at now if you are a mail handler. And this only applies to those who have been drafted, which in other words means you didn't want to work that holiday, so you did not volunteer, but the post office made you come to work. Well, when you look at the post office made you come to work, or they got drafted, as we say, you want to go back and look, and it may take the next day to get these clock rings. Did the casuals work? Did the part-time flexibles work to the extent possible? And that's how you want to base your fight when you tell management that you want a grievance or whatever else you want to seek additional restitution
for them making you work that violated the contract. In other words, the post office did not utilize their manpower as they said they would in our national agreement and forced you to come to work. And if that happened to you, then that's how you would fight that to win
a grievance on that. But I would think that as a union, and again, I'm just sharing my opinion on things. I would think that as a union, if you looked at holiday schedules and holiday manpower usage after every holiday, and regardless of employees filing grievances who were drafted, I think if the union took an aggressive stand to look at holidays and start filing their own grievances against management for not complying with the pecking order, it would encourage management to do it right. But we have fallen into that slumber or that sleep that if no one complains, then okay, it must not be a problem. I'm trying to say if we do it right, we eliminate or we forego the current problem, and you will start to see more holiday schedules coming out with no one drafted and maybe even some MHAs not used 100%. I'm just saying, if we understand what holiday scheduling is all about. Hey, listen, this is Kenny Hodge, and I just want to keep you informed on the goings-on. And this is an issue in a lot of offices. So, again, I want to make all who listen to the podcast aware of how this process should take place. And my reference, again, was your national agreement, Article 11.5 and 6. Have a great day. Please research the topic and bring yourself more into the knowledge of your contract.